Hi everyone, my name is Yaro and you're listening to the Making and Mending podcast. In this episode, I want to give you an update on my studies and on a really interesting and exciting and hopeful, at least to me, research project I'm going to be working on this year. So those of you who've been here for a while know that I love being a student. I wrote about this on my last Substack newsletter about how lucky and privileged I feel to have access to university courses here. I am questioning the way universities are working, and there's a lot in academic culture I find really challenging and unnecessary and kind of replicating white supremacy and capitalism. But having said that, I also just really love learning. And at this stage in my life, I found ways of being a student at university that really work for me and that opened me up to amazing ideas and resources such as libraries and archives and the support from teachers that makes new things possible for me. So I'm feeling really grateful for that, and I want to share a little bit more today about what I've been exploring and what I'm hoping to do. So I enrolled back with the Open University in 2020. And for those of you who don't know the Open University, that's a British institution. It's been founded, I'm not actually totally sure, maybe in the 70s. And so they really have always been a distance university. And in many ways, I think when it comes to technology, are really leading in how they facilitate people, many of which are what they call unconventional learners, I guess, which means older people, people with disabilities, people with jobs and families and care responsibilities and all kinds of other reasons for not being able to or not wanting to attend a conventional university. So I did my first degree with them between 2007 and 2011. I started when I was about 21 or 22, I think. And I really, really enjoyed the experience so much. I was working mostly full time and I still completed my degree in less than 4 years. And I somewhat regret that because I think in my early 20s, I had the mindset that I just needed to get a degree, you know, whatever it took. And that was really important. And I wasn't so much in it for the learning experience in itself. And I think I chose that path of attending a distance university mostly because I had been working for a long time at that stage. I started working when I was 11, and I really appreciated that sense of kind of independence it gave me. And I also was scared to take out a student loan. No one else in my family had been to university, so it felt really comfortable to be able to keep working and to pay for my fees in installments rather than to take out a loan. But like I said, it also meant that I wasn't giving as much of myself or as much of my time to the experience as I wish I could have. But at the same time, it was also great in a lot of ways. I did an open degree, which meant that I could combine a lot of different subjects. So I did social science, creative writing, some business studies, some psychology, a lot of linguistics and creativity and language. So I could just kind of, you know, change my mind each term basically and then cobble something together in the end. And that was a springboard, I think, for me for a very joyous lifelong commitment to learning. In my late 20s, I did a master's in creative media at the University of Brighton, that's in the south of England, and that was really great in terms of giving me confidence and skills within DIY media. So I wrote my dissertation about collaborative community photography and queer identities. I looked at what was happening on Tumblr at the time in 2014. And I worked with really amazing people and really enjoyed that process. And then after that, I started my web design studio. And I think while that master's didn't train me in web design at all, it did give me kind of more of that, well, whatever, I'm just going to figure it out attitude. And I think that's really what I needed. So I wasn't in formal education then between 2014 and 2020. But I was taking classes and, you know, studying and feeling curious about things as I was building my business. But in 2020, obviously, when we were in lockdown, like most of us, I had more time on my hands and I really needed something positive to focus on. So I took a big module in philosophy with the Open University. It was 60 credits over a year and I really loved it so much. And then the following year, 21, I did classical mythology and looked at ancient Greece and Roman myth. That was wild, really cool, learned so much. And in 2022/23, because, you know, academic years are funny like that, I studied culture and heritage at the University of the Highlands and Islands. That's a really cool chapter for me as well. I really enjoy the University of the Highlands and Islands as an institution. And this is also distance-based. I've never attended. It's a university that's kind of like a collection of smaller institutions in the north of Scotland. And they have always been serving people who live in quite remote or rural communities. So they also have a lot of experience in facilitating learning in slightly unconventional ways. And that, again, has really worked for me. When I did the diploma in higher education, which here is kind of the second year of a bachelor's program, but it's kind of also a qualification itself, I studied things like positive representation of disability in Scottish folklore, plant-related grief rituals, what even culture means, how languages change, very, very cool things that I think felt comforting to me and my experience of that time, but also exciting for my writing and my work and kind of how I see the rest of my life. To contextualize what I mean about my situation at the time was that I was really severely slowed down by an accident that I had 3 years ago. So I've acquired a new disability and therefore began a chapter of my life that was much slower than anything that I had experienced before. And so exploring these topics just really has so much meaning for me, and I'm excited to deepen that this year. Last summer, I had a moment of thinking, oh my God, I think I need more technical skills. I would love to work within web design and digital strategy, but maybe within the heritage sector. And so I began a master's in computer science in September, but really didn't enjoy that at all, for all kinds of reasons I won't go into. I think that was a detour, basically. And so I decided to drop out of that program. Luckily, it was within a few weeks, so I wasn't due any fees, which is great, and there were no consequences as such. But I enrolled for a master's in history at the University of the Highlands and Islands this year. So that has begun last month in January, and I really am loving it so much right now. It is a big step up from my undergraduate studies. It's really challenging me in a lot of ways, but it also is really beautiful and supportive. I don't have many live classes, so the discussions are really lively and big, but they are asynchronous. And I think for me as a non-native speaker of English, this is helpful because I really get to the time to kind of read and organize my thoughts and then contribute after the reflection rather than in the moment in a conversation. And I wanted to tell you also, just for lols, what modules I'm taking this term. So one is called Primary Sources in History. And so we're looking at archive materials, church records, letters, maps, all kinds of public documents, to kind of get a sense of how you learn about specific historical questions by accessing these kinds of materials. I'll say I think that's probably my least favorite module. It is cool, but it's also wildly dense, and not all of it feels relevant or exciting to me, but I also really understand why it's important, so that's okay. And then I'm taking a big module on oral history, which I absolutely adore. I'm learning so much about the relationship between interviewer and interviewee, what oral histories even mean, you know, what language means and how it changes how we share or don't share stories, and how transformative and personal and liberatory narratives can be for both individuals and communities. So this is really, really, you know, close to my heart and very exciting to me. And then the third module I'm taking is called Gender and Family in the Highlands and Islands, which is also really fascinating. Obviously, gender is a big part of my work as well, and I have incredible teachers. So yeah, it's really cool. So, but the main thing I wanted to really talk about is my dissertation. I've had a really great meeting this week with a potential supervisor, and I have drafted my proposal. So I'm really nearing a stage where it's all coming together and I'm starting to read. And the question I'm asking for my project is, how did people with disabilities use needlework to connect with the sense of place and heritage during lockdown? So to do that, I will be interviewing people on Zoom. I'm not sure how many yet. That's something I need to discuss with my supervisor. But I'm hoping to collect these stories about ways in which we have been stitching during lockdown and how they've helped us through this time. I really want to tap into the sense of creativity and resilience that I've seen in my communities. And I'm particularly interested in speaking to people with disabilities like myself, because I think we're pretty great and we had to really contend with and survive a lot. And I think we bring a unique perspective to these questions, and I want to bring that forward both to record the strength and beauty of my communities, but also to kind of see how that can translate to public policy around small heritage organizations, for example, museums, digital archives. I just would really like all of us to have a sense of being able to write history together and to value our own lived experiences and to find kind of exciting and empowering ways to document them for each other, for future generations. So it sounds grand, but obviously there are many, many people who do this work with me and who have done this work before me. I'm currently kind of getting an overview of what is out there and what might be woven into this dissertation. And then I'm really excited in a few months, probably, to extend the invitation to you as a listener to see if you would like to be interviewed in the summer. So yeah, I will keep you up to date with that. And I'm currently writing a zine on this whole project, and that will be kind of like a primer. You can read that zine whether you want to participate or not. It's going to be freely available in digital form. And I will, within that, explore things like, what does place even mean? You know, when I'm asking, how did we connect with a sense of place and heritage? By place, I don't just mean our local landscape, though that very much as well. I'm also asking about digital spaces and the way that technology has facilitated our sense of space and place in the world. And then heritage, I'm thinking about where we are in this moment of human history and what does textile practice mean within that. Many of us are learning, for example, about decolonial practices within textile work, the history of colonization and how textiles have been a really big part of that. But we're also learning about things like sustainability and materiality, and, you know, how do things decompose? What does it mean to work with plastics? What does it mean to work with recycled materials? How do machines come into our work, and do they have to be part of our work? And then, you know, is it okay to be really slow and stitch everything by hand? Those are really interesting questions that I've been exploring and would like to talk about with other people as well. And I also like this idea of becoming makers versus just being consumers. Those thoughts, I think, are just shaping for me at the moment. I read some books around that, and yeah, I want to definitely talk about that a lot more this year. So yeah, and I think, of course, this is also bringing a lot to my Stitching Together project. So that is my Patreon community. You can pledge anything from $7 or $8 a month if you want to be part of it. We have 3 live sessions every month. I share a beautiful guidebook every month with a theme. So in January, for example, it was starting with slow stitch. In February, it is finding confidence with color. And then for March, I'm currently working on a PDF that's called Mending as a Ritual. And this is really kind of like a choose your own adventure kind of thing. Like, I'm sharing these skills and resources and questions and ideas, but you can engage with them absolutely in your own time. And then you can show up if you want for up to 3 sessions a month for kind of gentle togetherness and group accountability. And I really enjoy these sessions so much. It's a highlight in my week. One is coming up this Sunday. It's the Spark session where we set intentions for February. And yeah, I'm just really grateful that people are coming together and want to share that with me. It's a real joy and an honor. I'll link to that in the show notes, and I promise I will record more podcast episodes as things kind of unfold. And I'm so grateful you're listening and cheering me on. So thank you so much.